The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
A Rojana from Jordan by the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. Minister, thank you for joining us. Tell us about what you saw yesterday at the Rafah crossing into Gaza, because there have been reports about much of the aid which has been there and paid for by the rest of the world not being allowed in by the Israelis.
Yes, I mean, first of all, you have these queues and queues, truckloads of aid. Extraordinary lengths, and you just get angry when you say to yourself, there's thousands of people starving on the other side of this border, and all this equipment, food and generators is here and can't get in. And then we went to a depot organized by the Red Crescent Society, a logistics hub, and they showed us a warehouse full of vital equipment donated from countries all over the world, CT scanners, a lot of hospital equipment being denied, basic stuff like, you know, if it's a green sleeping bag, because it's green, it's not allowed in. Crutches not allowed in. Children's education packs, because they might contain a small scissors, not allowed in. And various other packages that would be helpful, just simply for, they just say dual use, which can apply to anything. It's unacceptable, the barriers that are being put up. And then the multiple checks. And then in terms of the medical stuff around vaccination, I mean, we saw very good innovation around cold chain sort of marquees that could be established on the other side in Gaza if it was allowed, but it's not allowed. And that's critical for medicine in terms of the right temperature and so on. So they were explaining to us how they lost a lot of insulin on one truck because it was just too late to get it into Gaza. And they are vaccinating a lot of the population, and vaccination is crucial where all the sanitary facilities have broken down, where there's an absence of pure water. That vaccination is critical to prevent infectious diseases and killer diseases. And yet we have this incredible sort of micro-checking of everything, double-checking of everything, which I think is unacceptable and cannot be justified in any circumstances in the humanitarian catastrophe that people are experiencing on a daily basis.
Minister, any time criticism is now made of the behaviour of the Israeli army in Gaza and what the Israeli government is requiring it to do, there's a risk of being charged with being anti-Semitic, and indeed that charge has been made against the Irish state. What do you make of that?
I think one must distinguish always between criticism of the Israeli government and anti-Semitism, and the two are not, cannot be equated. And I think that sometimes that argument is made as an attempt to try and dilute the criticism, undermine the criticism, or maybe deter people from criticizing the Israeli government. There are many citizens of Israel who do not approve of much of what the Israeli government does. I accept that the horrific attack by Hamas has traumatized the Israeli people. Of that there is no doubt. It was horrendous. It was barbaric and should never have happened. What is happening in Gaza right now equally should not be happening and must not. And in terms of just the humanitarian aid question, I find it very difficult how anyone could really defend the low level of aid that has gone in to date, and also the lack of any proper ecosystem in terms of humanitarian aid. It's not just the food alone. You know, if you send flour in, you have to send water, you have to make sure water can be pumped and so on, and you have generators, you have fuel. And all of that is not happening in an integrated way. And then the other key issue is what we call deconfliction. In other words, too many humanitarian workers have been shot dead and killed, and the UN are looking for proper security for their personnel. It was explained to us yesterday by a number of the workers that they've been shot at. These are quite senior people in various organizations. As they approach a checkpoint, they get shots over their heads. These are humanitarian workers, extraordinary people who are putting their lives on the line every day in the interest of humankind to provide vital services. So that's something that is not defendable. And I think one can come to all sorts of explanations as to how that is happening. But that has to stop. And that is an issue that they asked us to raise. The other interesting issue, Matt, from a media perspective, and one of the interlocutors said to us, could you please, which I've already done, by the way, ensure that the international media get access into Gaza. And I think I would challenge the Israeli authorities to allow the international media in, to allow other countries and their representatives into Gaza to see the state of Gaza today. That's something I think the world has to create greater pressures now to get this war ended and to get proper humanitarian aid in.
What about the UNRWA refugee camp in Jordan? What have you seen there and how does it make you feel about things?
In terms of the visit this morning to the school in the refugee camp in Jordan, it was very encouraging, heartwarming. I met young representatives of the school parliament where they articulated their wishes and how the school parliament, school community works. But this is all funded by UNRWA, it's funded by Irish money and by European donors. And it was important really to see it because I can't comprehend how anybody could contemplate taking money away from a school like that or indeed from the medical clinic that I subsequently visited where thousands, over 1.4 million a year attend. And you remember there are 2.5 million Palestinian refugees in Jordan. It was important to see it and to see that our funding is well deployed. And if you didn't have it, what you would have is a radicalization of those children and young people, and you'd have no education provision or broad-based curriculum available to them. And it would be, and that's the bottom line in terms of opportunity for young people. So that was a heartwarming experience. But Minister, when you met them,
were they angry at the circumstances in which they find themselves? You say they haven't been radicalised, but yet they must be political in the sense of realising that they have homes taken away from them, that they live in a refugee status.
What I mean by that is that, others take over then in terms of the teaching and education if you don't have a proper education model. But yes, of course there's anger there. People here are very angry with what's happening in Gaza because many of the Palestinian families here have loved ones in Gaza, have lost people in Gaza and in the West Bank. I met a young teacher who had been on an UNRWA joint visit to Japan, for example, then October the 7th broke out. She has found herself in Jordan, can't get back into Gaza. She's two kids in Gaza. Her family has been displaced 7 times in Gaza. Her house is destroyed. And she's minding the 3 children who she had accompanied out as a teacher. And they're here, she said, in my UNRWA family now. So the humanitarian disaster that this represents, even in just one individual case, is multiplied hundreds and hundreds of times. So people are very, very angry. And that's the danger, because that anger makes it much more difficult. The teachers explain this to us, that even though we're teaching human rights, the kids will look at us and say, well, where are our human rights? What's happening in Gaza? Where are the human rights there? Or across Palestine? The entire war is pushing the region back very, very significantly. And there are many dangers now all over the region because of this.
When you've been meeting with ministers in both Egypt and Jordan, what do they make of Ireland's decision to back the establishment of a Palestinian state? What importance do they attribute to it?
They attribute very significant importance. In fact, we've been working with them on that issue, and that's part of the rationale for meeting with them again these 2 days, because we're working in partnership with like-minded countries in Europe and our partners in the region. Jordan, Egypt. We work with the Arab Contact Group, which involves Saudi Arabia, UAE, and the Palestinian Authority. And all along, we've been working on the basis of the Arab Peace Initiative, which we had hoped would be published by now, and that the recognition question would be part of that, along with the cessation of violence. The news on a ceasefire is very pessimistic over the last number of days, and people are saying it's not going to happen, which is very depressing. And then on the peace initiative, there is engagement with the US, and I believe there will be engagement with the European Union and like-minded countries in the European Union on that peace initiative. And the third leg of that is the UN will probably at the General Assembly have a resolution proposing the admission of Palestine to the UN. Now, the UN General Assembly doesn't have the authority, but nonetheless it can vote and it can table a resolution. And we think there'll be a very significant support for that, which we will support. We believe the context will then exist that we, in partnership with countries like Spain and Slovenia and others, and in contact with our Arab partners, work collectively to have a significant moment when we can declare a recognition of a Palestinian state. They put a lot of importance in it. I met with both Foreign Minister Safadi today and King Abdullah. They appreciate the initiative. They appreciate the work we're doing on UNRWA in particular, and the fact that we have put our own. We call things, and I made it clear to all that we believe in international humanitarian law, and we believe in the UN Charter. And that's the framework through which we articulate our views and take positions.
But Minister, how worried would you be, and indeed are they, about the potential for a Palestinian state essentially getting controlled by the likes of Hamas or Hezbollah, who would use the opportunity then to further their campaign for the destruction of Israel?
Well, I think the first point is that the recognition of a Palestinian state is the state as determined by 1967 borders and the UN framework. That's what we're recognising. The actual configuration of governments is a separate question over time. And we interact with all sorts of governments all over the world at different times, positively or negatively, depending on policies developed by those governments. The fundamental question here is it's to the Palestinian people. It's a clear signal to them and to moderation within Palestine, that we are alive to their aspiration to self-determination, to have their own Palestinian state, which everybody, by the way, has been supporting since the Oslo Accords. Particularly under Prime Minister Netanyahu, there have been repeated attempts to undermine those accords and the prospect of a two-state solution, which we can't no longer tolerate any further erosion of that principle. And that's a motivating factor.
One very quick final point, though, Minister. What would you say to people here in Ireland, a small number of them, admittedly, who say that we shouldn't be committing our time and effort to this? There are plenty of things to be done at home about worrying about and getting involved in what happens in the Middle East.
Two things. First of all, a vast majority of the Irish people are very concerned about what happens in the Middle East, are genuinely concerned. We know that from the degree to which people contact us, articulate their views, and want Ireland to take a strong position and when I say strong, an intervention to do everything we possibly can to alleviate the suffering. On a more fundamental point, though, I would say, if you're looking at it from a self-interest perspective, I'm in Jordan. Jordan is 2.3 million Palestinian refugees. It is 1.3 million Syrian refugees of more recent years, brought about by war and conflict. If you take the European Union meeting of last Monday, the Foreign Affairs Council, three issues on the table. Sudan, millions of people displaced. Ukraine, 11 million people displaced. The Middle East, Gaza, again, huge displacement, huge migration issues into Egypt, into Jordan. The migration crisis facing the world is because of these wars. And if you think you can sort of create an insular environment within Ireland, we can ignore everything, it will arrive on our doorstep in some shape or form if we don't make every effort to stop these wars. Because people want to live in their own homes, live in their own communities, bring up their children in their own communities. But when there's a level and scale of war and destruction that's happening all over the world at the moment, in Africa and in the Middle East, then that has added tenfold to the migration crisis that we are experiencing. So the idea, we are... The world is interdependent, particularly in the modern era. 21st century is global. We're part of the world. We always have been. We've always been outward looking. We sell our goods and services all over the world. People admire our approach to international humanitarian law and doing what's right as best we can assess it. And I think that is how I see it. And I'm always struck in the Middle East in particular, and looking at what's happening in Sudan at the moment. I mean, the migration into Egypt is very significant. The challenges Jordan faces, from the crisis in Iraq, the crisis in Lebanon, the crisis in Syria, the crisis in Palestine, it creates huge challenges to the security and stability of Jordan, and indeed to Egypt's subsequently. And all that has knock-on effects on Europe and impacts on Europe. So we can't insulate ourselves from this, even if you wanted to.
Minister for Foreign Affairs, Tánaiste and Micheál Martin, thank you very much for joining us here from Jordan here on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.